Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you very much for that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter because Steve Chandler is in the building, so to speak. Steve is our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of so many books, I hurt myself carrying them in here. One of my favorites, though, is the lies book. 13 lies that are, is it 9 lies or 13 lies that you, we tell ourselves in the and the truth that will set you free. Which one is it, Steve?
It's actually 17 lies.
17 lies, that's what it is.
You read 13 of them.
No, I read all of them. I just couldn't remember the number. 17 lies that are holding you back and the truth that will set you free. Of all your books, Steve, that's my favorite.
Thank you.
Steve Chandler, ladies and gentlemen, he and Terrence Hill, Terry Hill, as we know him when you read the book, have written a book. Well, it's the second in a series, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's right.
The first one was Two Guys Read
Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Was the first one.
Yeah, and this one's called Two Guys Read the Obituaries. And the cover of the book is one, folks, that only Grateful Dead fans could appreciate. Right, Steve?
Yeah, that's actually the co-authors pictured on the front of the book.
Yeah. Which one are you? Bench. Which one? You have the baseball cap or the top hat on? Which one?
No, he's got the University of Michigan.
Oh, that's him. Okay.
That's him. And I've got the top hat on.
You've got the feather.
Yeah, I'm a little classier than
you. You've got the flair. So,
yeah.
Now, Steve, when you first pick up the book and you look at the cover and you say, you know, this is a little quirky, and then you get into it just a little bit, you say, well, this is a little bit of a self-absorbed book.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I right about that?
It's a total indulgence. It's just two old friends writing letters back and forth to each other about the obituaries that appear for a whole year. So we read the obituaries for a year, and when people died, we would write a comment on their lives and on what the obituaries said. But it was also a running essay on death, and he and I both turned 60 when we were writing the book, so we were pondering our own.
Your mortality was a little more in focus, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. So we were able to talk a lot about what's the point of trying to live as long as you can? What are we really going to do it for? Are we going to do something great in our final 20 years, or are we just going to try to hang on? So the book really explored all those themes about death. And
but what did you glean out of the obituaries? Obviously obituaries is about death, but but you were reading about people that you didn't, some of them you kind of knew about, but most of them you didn't know anything about.
Yeah, we learned a lot about people reading the obituaries. We learned about why they died, and we started to see patterns, why certain people live it to their 90s, and some of the people in the book live past 100, and then other people died young, and we could really detect reasons why that was occurring, and that was interesting. And obituaries are really a tribute to life. They barely mention the cause of death, but most of the obituary is about the person's life.
You know, I have a confession to make. I read obituaries too.
Do you?
Yes, and I don't read them. I mean, I know some people who glean them. I mean, they literally, if we talk later, you know, they'll know everything about them. I don't read that much about them. I just kind of pick through. I want to know what they did. I think if you write an obituary for someone, you should tell people what they did. I think you should tell people how they died. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you should say, you know, they were, you know, through an untimely accident or whatever. There ought to be some information there. I mean, of course, these people aren't writing obituaries for me. They're writing them for friends and family. But for people like you and me who have this perverse pastime, you know, maybe they should give us a little more information. But I like that. But the age, I like what you said about the age, because I noticed that when I got to a certain age, more and more people who were in the obituaries were closer to my age.
Yes.
And that became a little, that started getting my attention a little bit. And that's the first thing I do. I scan the entire obituaries for the ages of that day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some days they're like all in their 40s or something, and it's spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that every when we read, and my co-author, Terry, was even more obsessive about it. He would add them up, calculate them, and give me the average.
Oh, no. And the square root of each of the total, or something like that.
And then he would figure out how much longer we had to live, and whether we better start riding faster.
So what you're saying is Terry needs to get a life. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, Terry retired early. He's a writer, and he retired early, and he travels around the world enjoying himself.
Stand by,
Steve. Which I resent deeply.
I agree with you. I don't know him, but I'm starting to resent him myself. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend, Mr. Steve Chandler, the co-author of Two Guys Read the Obituaries. When we come back, we're going to talk about the meaning of life and the meaning of death. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. Roger, we got to find some Grateful Dead music to play for Steve before he goes. See if you can rustle up some of that. I think there may be something in the library there. I'm not sure. Steve Chandler is our guest, folks. I'm Jim Blasingame. Welcome back. We're talking about Steve's book that he co-wrote with Terrence N. Hill. Two Guys Read the Obituaries. And Steve, you're a big music fan. You're a music professional, actually, in your career. And there is one little piece of music news that I wanted to mention. Actually, two pieces. Let me get this one in here. 1877, Thomas Edison announced his invention of the phonograph on this day.
Phonograph?
Yeah, on this day, 1877.
Yeah, great.
How about that? Also, 1934, Ella Fitzgerald made her singing debut at the Apollo Theater in Harlem at the age of 16.
Wow.
On this day. So there's a little music trivia there for you. So, and now you're saying, what the heck's that got to do with my book, right?
Well, you know, music, you don't want to die with your music still in you. That's a real important thing to keep in mind. You don't want to die with your music still in you.
And how do we do that if we're not musical? Some people
Well, your music, that's a metaphor for your love. What is it that you really love to do? And I think the great service you provide for small business owners is you bring so much humor and joy to the subject that it allows them to see it in a more lighthearted way. In my experience is people who are in business, who enjoy it more, succeed faster.
Yeah. Laughter is a great element of success, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It really is.
And humor. And we have to learn. You know what I tell people, Steve, is you got to learn how to laugh at yourself first.
Well, I agree. And that's the reason that Terry and I wrote this book. We just decided we don't care what people say about it. There's two skeletons sitting on a park bench reading the newspaper on the cover. And that represents me and him having turned 60. And we just wrote about all the crazy things, including really funny ways certain people died throughout the year. And we wanted to have people lighten up a little bit about this grim thing called life. I mean, people make life worse than death because of how much they fear and worry. And yet, when you read about people dying, they have the sweet smile on their face.
Right. And we always say it looks like he could just wake up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think it's important for people to get a better relationship with death.
Well, you know, I don't know that it was in your book. I didn't find it if it was. I love what Aldous Huxley said about the end of life and about our world. And he said, what if this world is another world's hell?
For you know, a lot of people, it really is.
My point is we're so fixed on not leaving this earth. Maybe we should be looking forward to getting
out. Exactly right. Yeah, what a great writer he was, too.
Oh yeah, you know, one of the things that someone told me a long time ago is, you know, we're not going to get out of this thing alive, so we might as well eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
I worry about people who put limits on themselves and don't realize that you know, when they're doing that, how short life is, how vaporous life is. And coming back to your observation about doing what you love, I tell people, I said this within the last week. I said, folks, if you're not doing something you enjoy, please figure out a way to fix that.
Yeah, and step one is to enjoy what you're doing. And anyone can really do that if they'll relax into it and take a humorous approach to it. You don't really have to run out and find the perfect job. Just bring your perfect attitude toward whatever it is you're doing now, and then the perfect work will start to get attracted to you. I think the real fun that Terry Hill and I had writing this book was we had a whole year of absolute joy writing to each other about people who died, and people thought that was really morbid. And at one point in the book, Terry went up to his wife. He was so swept up with the subject of death that he said, "I hope someone jumps out of a window to their death this year so I can write that he jumped to his own conclusion." And so, and then she said,
that is a little morbid.
It is morbid. And she,
what did she say?
She was appalled, and she said, you better discontinue this project because it's getting to you. But we really had fun writing, and it was just such a joy to wake up every morning and just turn to the obituaries as fast as we could.
Right. Well, what did you learn about yourself?
Well, we learned a lot about what he and I thought about death and what we thought about our lives and what we thought was important, what we thought was important as far as accomplishing things. And, you know, I joked about Terry retiring early, which he did, but he's stayed very, very active. In fact, he's done more work since he retired as a writer than he did when he was in advertising as an active person. He's written plays and novels, and so he's really stayed active, and it's kept him really vibrant, and he's really fun. We have a picture on the back of the book of Terry and myself in a cemetery in Mexico, which is where we...
Right.
He has a home in Mexico, and we hung out in the cemetery to take some pictures for the book cover, which our wives were a little upset about that, too, because one of the poses, we both lay down on the ground and pretended we had passed away. And so people don't enjoy it when you make lighthearted fun of death.
Well, especially when, you know, when someone's recently, you know, there are people somewhere nearby who've experienced something like that.
Oh, I know. I know.
They're still in the grieving process. But I think you're right. You've got to, you know, and I know you well enough, folks. I know Steve well enough to know that he is very conscious of that. And the book is very interesting when folks, two guys read the obituaries. When we come back, I want to talk about the meaning of the rest of our lives. We'll get Steve to help us with that right after these messages. Stay with us. It's 10 Till.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Chandler, the co-author of Two Guys Read the Obituaries. And it's a book about life and death, folks. It's a celebration of life and the stories of death and what that means to these two guys. And there's a lot of philosophy in this book, Steve, and I want to thank you for making it available.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a joy to write, and it's received such a great reception. We've been thrilled.
Tell us how we can find it.
Well, it's on Amazon, and it's in most bookstores, but the most reliable way is Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
Steve Chandler and Terrence, with all E's, N. Hill, is the co-author, Steve's friend. You know, Steve, the older I get, the more I, you know, as I, my dad, my audience knows that, as I mentioned a couple of years ago, when my dad died, you know, I watched him, there was a moment, Steve, there was a moment when my dad, at the end of my dad's life, when there were only three people in the room, my dad and me and my son. And there's about as much difference between me and my son as there is in age between as there is between me and my dad, mm-hmm. maybe a year or two one way or the other. And I was looking at my dad, and I looked over, and my son was looking at me.
Oh. Oh yeah. Wow, what a moment.
I didn't ask him what he was thinking, but I know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know what, 27 years from now, it's gonna be me and you standing here.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna be laying there and I'm gonna be standing here.
Yeah.
And it's the cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's a beautiful cycle if we can get enough distance from it. And like you said in the last segment, you were trying to say that Steve's not as sick as he sounds on this show, and he really does understand that people grieve.
Yeah.
And it's true, I do. But when we get some distance from this cycle, it's really very beautiful.
Well, you know, I'll tell you about one thing I've told my children after my dad was relegated to the nursing home the last 14 months of his life. And I learned then that there are worse things than being dead. Now, this was a wonderful nursing home. They were good people. It was very clean. But the idea of having to live your life out there, you may live with dignity, but you may not die with dignity. And I've told my children, if I get run over by a truck, if you hear of me dropping dead, whatever happens, and it goes that quickly, and if it happens today, you can miss me. That's okay, but don't grieve, because there are worse things than being dead.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. So I want to have a small plane. If I get some kind of terminal illness like that, I want a small plane loaded up with Southern Comfort, LSD, and my favorite Elvis records, and just enough gas to get me over the Pacific and not be able to turn around.
Well, what we're going to do, Steve, is we're going to put you on a little raft.
Okay.
And we're gonna push you out into the water and let the tide take you out, and then we're gonna fire an arrow into the raft, you know, and it'll just set you on fire. What about that?
Well, you know, like the Viking contract that you'll promise to do that.
Have you seen that Viking show where they did that?
No.
That's a wonderful thing. You know, they push the king out in the raft, and of course he's already dead. But then they fire this. They take this arrow, you know, the bow and arrow, and they light it, and it goes. And anyway, it lands perfectly on the raft, of course, and it's pretty cool. But anyway, death is part of life, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it gives life its meaning. Without death, you know, I read an article the other day about what would happen if you could live forever, or what if you could live 200 years and everyone else was dying.
I don't want that.
Oh, it would be a nightmare.
I don't want to see what the world looks like when I'm 100 years old.
Yeah, and how bad the music sounds.
That's a good point. Very good point. You know, I was thinking this weekend about I think it was a New Christy Minstrel song. You'll know this if I'm wrong. And it was that line in that song, one dying in a burying.
Oh yeah.
One child born to carry on.
Yeah.
It's the way of things, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's the cycle, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and people remembering, people being in a funeral, people crying for the loss of someone they cared about. It can be such a beautiful cycle that I don't think we should demonize it or be afraid of it or run from it or make it scary for children.
It's sad when it happens prematurely, but it's interesting to me when you see people who say, you know what, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on. I wish that for you, Steve. I hope that comes to your, when your life comes to an end, I hope that's what happens. You're ready to go.
I will be happy with whatever happens, whatever it is. I'll be just delighted.
And if I'm around, Steve, I'll read your obituary on the air.
Oh, wonderful!
How about that?
Yeah, I'm already feeling good about that.
Make sure they write a good one, or let me write it. That's what you're doing. Tell them, let me write it. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today. Read the obituaries, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.